upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. This is Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Today is April 5, 2019. Welcome to the broadcast today. We're going to be talking about opportunity zones. The headline of the first story that I want to talk about is called 8,700 Opportunity Zones in the United States Targeted for Smart City Infrastructure. This is new to me. I've heard about this concept before. I haven't really paid attention to it until now. I'm going to give you some of the things that I found out even just this morning about opportunity zones, what they are, where they're headed, why they were created, and what it means to America. In short, the Opportunity Zone Project, I'll just call it a project, initiative across America, is the largest blanket public-private partnership that exists in our nation. Now, there are many individual public-private partnerships around the country that if you added them all up, would be very significant. But this is an institutionalized program across the country to set up tax zones that allow for investment into smart city infrastructure and Green New Deal type infrastructure that gives the investors tremendous tax breaks, and it gives the cities a smart city makeover that they neither ask for nor plan for, but they got it anyway. Now, the first question is, how did this happen? Well, back in 2017, the House and then the Senate passed a bill that provided for the setup of these opportunity zones across America. And I'm going to share some information from a website that's very prominent in working today with opportunity zones called the Economic Innovation Group. They state on their website, answering the question, what are opportunity zones? Quote, opportunity zones are low-income census tracts nominated by governors and certified by the U.S. Department of Treasury, into which investors can now put capital to work financing new projects and enterprises in exchange for certain federal capital gains tax advantages. The country now has over, 8,700 opportunity zones in every state and territory. This is just in the course of 2 years that this network has been established. The next question is, what are opportunity funds? The answer, opportunity funds are new private sector investment vehicles that invest at least 90% of their capital in qualifying assets in opportunity zones. U.S. investors currently hold trillions of dollars in unrealized capital gains in stocks and mutual funds alone, a significant untapped source for economic development funds will enable a broad array of investors to pool their resources in opportunity zones, increasing the scale of investments going to undeserved areas. Next question is, what are the incentives that encourage long-term investment in low-income communities? It's answered, opportunity zones offer investors the following incentives for putting their capital to work in low-income communities. A temporary tax deferral for capital gains reinvested in an opportunity fund. The deferred gain must be recognized on the earlier of the date on which the opportunity zone investment is sold or on December 31, 2026. A step-up in basis for capital gains reinvested in opportunity fund. The basis of the original investment is increased by 10% if the investment in the qualified opportunity zone fund is held by the taxpayer for at least 5 years, and by an additional 5% if held for at least 7 years, excluding up to 15% of the original gain from taxation. And thirdly, a permanent exclusion from taxable income of capital gains from the sale or exchange of an investment in a qualified opportunity zone fund if the investment is held for at least 10 years. What this amounts to is basically a tax giveaway for people who invest in opportunity zones. Let's say that you're a very wealthy investor and you bought stock in Facebook way back when it was dirt cheap, and now you hold a huge, potentially a huge capital gains, and if you sold it, you'd pay a lot of income tax. Well, what they're saying here is if you sell that stock and you invest it into one of these opportunity zones, your tax due on those capital gains will be deferred out as long as 2026. This is a wide open door for people to come in and make investments to convert these cities, usually a low income area within a city. Well, the Honorable Andrew Young, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations and former member of the Trilateral Commission, has stated, "Too many communities in our great nation feel passed over by economic growth and forgotten by our political leaders. We need a new formula for the public and private sectors to work together to generate new investments, new businesses, and new good-paying jobs in places that have fallen behind. The Investing in Opportunity Act will harness much-needed private capital to flow into American communities and empower state and local leaders to build a more prosperous future." Andrew Young, remember that the co-sponsor of the Senate bill was Senator Cory Booker, Mr. Green New Deal. In an article this week in GoErie.com titled "Smart City Technology Eyed for Erie's Opportunity Zones," it starts out saying security cameras, free public Wi-Fi, LED lighting could come to a local neighborhoods targeted for reinvestment. Additional cameras, etc., are called what's known as smart city technology. The mayor's administration and other local officials want to bring the same technology to local neighborhoods targeted for reinvestment under the Federal Opportunity Zone program. The governor, in an interview last week, said his administration, working with the Erie Innovation District and others, is working to bring, quote, secure smart city equipment and technology over the next 12 months to the 8 opportunity zones in the Erie region that have been designated by Governor Tom Wolf's office as and certified by the U.S. Treasury Department. It's kind of an aggressive goal, but let's get these areas done and within the next 3 years. I'd like to see that technology throughout the entire city, he said. Okay, this sets the ground rules for opportunity zones. The money that's pouring in initially is smart city technology money. We've already documented those at length on technocracy.news over a period of time. Who's backing this technology? Who's backing this takeover? Well, it's technocracy. It's technocrats. The big companies like the Microsofts of the world, the Googles of the world, with Sidewalk Labs, etc. These are the organizations that are pushing smart city technology. And now the door has been thrown wide open across America to invest in this technology, and the cities basically have very little to say about it. Not to mention that it's a public-private partnership. The companies that invest into these areas will have significant control over the areas they invest in. That only makes sense. So America is being blanketed right now by these opportunity zones. They're still growing. There's 8,700 now, perhaps probably more by now, but they're sweeping the nation, covering the nation completely, blanketing the nation. And as in the case of Erie, even though this technology is coming into these opportunity zones, the mayor is already saying he wants this to spread to the entire city. And of course, this is exactly what will happen, because a little leaven put into a lump of dough will eventually infect the entire lump. Once a base is established in a city, even if it's in a low-income area, the rest of the city will fall like a series of dominoes toppling over. Well, the next story is just an update, actually. A few days ago, there was a story about Google creating an AI ethics panel to discuss the ethics of using AI in various applications at Google. And the article mentioned that there was already dissension within this panel. Well, today's update is titled Google Cancels AI Ethics Panel After Uproar. And unfortunately for Google, this Google panel appointed, they were external people appointed, were swarmed by thousands and thousands of non-participants attacking individual members of his panel. The result was utter chaos. Some people resigned, others argued to stay on, but finally it got so bad, Google canceled the whole thing. And we might say that big tech and ethics are approaching oxymoronic status. Google would have done well, actually, to have an AI ethics panel, as would other companies that are working with it. This almost guarantees that will never happen. And if such a panel is ever seated, it will contain only people from the technocrat side of the argument who will do nothing except approve for all AI applications without ethical boundaries whatsoever. The last story is a follow-on to recent stories about fintech. The Bank for International Settlements, the BIS, has vision for central bank digital currencies. This, of course, is not a new concept. But remember, the BIS is the policy-making central bank to all central banks of the world. And there's no doubt that it's planning to restructure the entire global financial system, collectively now this is called fintech, to enable and finance sustainable development across the planet. This is technocracy. The article starts out, the behavior of central bankers is rarely, if ever, given sustained coverage in the national press. That's true. Outside of prominent economic channels, developments from within institutions such as the International Monetary Fund and the Bank for International Settlements are seldom remarked on. Instead, attention is restricted to the latest round of political theatrics, which serve to disguise the actions and intentions of globalist planners. As the future of Brexit gained in intensity last month in the UK, of course, BIS General Manager Augustin Karstens gave a speech at the Central Bank of Ireland 2019 Whitaker Lecture. Under the heading The Future of Money and Payments, Karstens mapped out what has been a long-standing vision of globalists, namely, to acquire full-spectrum control of the international financial system through the gradual abolition of what the Bank of England Governor Mark Carney has called tangible assets, i.e. physical money. The future of money narrative is one that both the BIS and the IMF have been actively promoting since the advent of Brexit and Donald Trump's presidency. Here are some links to speeches made by both Christine Lagarde and Augustine Karstens. The title of these other articles are Central Bank and Fintech, A Brave New World, Winds of Change, Case for New Digital Currency, Money and Payment Systems in the Digital Age, Money in the Digital Age, What Role for Central Banks? Central to the vision for a fully digitized global economy is the intent to reform national payment systems. The UK uses the real-time gross settlement system, RTGS, which the majority of payments in Britain are facilitated through. The Bank of England's Victoria Cleland has emphasized on numerous occasions that the fundamental renewal of the system is being carried out through choice rather than necessity. This would indicate that RTGS works fine in its current manifestations, but the Bank of England, along with the European Central Bank, have been tasked with assuming more control over their respective payment systems. We can be sure in the end that the central banks will not quietly go away and let citizens recapture the economic direction of the world. The central banks collectively have controlled the monetary system, the debt-based monetary system, for many, many decades. They have made billions and billions and billions of dollars collectively over the years. They're certainly not about just to give up the entire system, but rather they intend to transform it and to use existing technology or growing technology to take over the monetary system and recreate it on a global basis. Their writing and their speeches are dead giveaways to what their plans are. Just that simple. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Have a great day.